Hi, I'm Roger Payne from the Simply Statistics blog, and I'm here with Jeff Leek and Rafael Irizarry, my co-editors at the blog. So this is our very first video podcast, and what we're trying to do here is occasionally put out videos where we discuss interesting topics in science and statistics. So this is our very first podcast. We're still trying to figure things out a little bit, but with any luck, if you just bear with us, I'm sure you'll be able to see Rafa play the guitar at some point. So if you have any suggestions for topics that we should talk or you want to hear about, please leave a comment at the blog at simplystatistics.org or send me an email at rdpeng@gmail.com. All right, so Jeff, it occurred to me that, so we've been doing the blog for like a year now.
Right.
And there may be some people out there who don't really know why we're doing this or maybe we don't even know why we're doing this.
Right.
So maybe we should talk about kind of what the purpose of the blog is.
That's a good question. So I guess when we first started doing it, it was sort of, it was about a year ago, and I realized that I was sending you guys links over email all the time with, a source of data or a story about statistics, and they were coming out sort of regularly, and they were pretty interesting, and I started to realize that they probably wouldn't just be interesting to me and to you guys, and so...
But there was a theme to those emails, though, right? I mean...
There was a bit of a theme. Yeah. So they tend to be, they tended to be sort of about data and this sort of data-driven approach to statistics as opposed to sort of a more methodological or tools-based approach to statistics. And so, the three of us kind of think that way about statistics, and we figured there would be other people out there that thought that way too. And so we figured, let's put it on the internet and see what happens. And then, so I sort of started this blog, and I had a little trouble coming up with a name, so I emailed, Rafa, and he helped me come up with Simply Statistics, for better or worse.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how it launched. I mean, that was about it, right?
Well, if I recall, one of the themes of all those links that you sent us is that the word statistics was never actually mentioned, right?
That's right. That was a big driver. A lot of these big data initiative papers were not including the word statistics or talking to statisticians. And we were definitely doing the work related to that, to discovering new insights by looking at data. That's what a lot of us do. And I mean, in part, that's why I... accepted Jeff's invitation to participate in the vlog.
An invitation. I coerced you into writing
like a letterpress kind of thing.
But it was at that time, not when we started, but way before we started, like 5 years ago. I realized a lot of people, I think, realized this, and I had conversations with several colleagues about how a lot of the sciences, and in particular the one that I was working in, which is biology or genomics more specifically, were changing from hypothesis-driven to data-driven. In biology, it's very clear that shift has happened, and I think it's happening in other fields, and we see it with like things like the Netflix Prize, how instead of Siskel and Ebert, we have Netflix recommending stuff. We see it in baseball with the Moneyball movie. And we see it in crime, fighting crime, with some of the stuff that they're doing in New York, mm-hmm. using data to catch criminals, etc. Yeah. So there's like a move, it's like a change that's occurring. I think it was driven mainly by the digital revolution that happened, 50 years ago. Eventually it became easier to store data and to upload data into a computer and analyze it. So there's all these different fields where all of a sudden it's become a very empirical science. And they're doing what we do for a living, which is, taking data and extracting information out of it and making sure that information is real and not due to chance or bias or systematic error. So, it's something that we talked a lot about and we were excited about, and we wanted to make sure that everybody out there knew that statisticians have something to add to this conversation.
But why didn't people... already know this already. I mean, like, where were we? Where were the statisticians, right? I mean,
that's a good question. I think
certainly not the PR. We certainly didn't have the PR, and we said that on the blog before, right? In terms of, I think that it seems like people who do stuff with data end up in the New York Times. It's often somebody from a CS department or something like that. Even though statisticians are doing those sorts of things as well, they didn't seem to end up in the articles we were sending around. So I guess
now, do you think CS is just better marketing, or are they doing better work? I mean,
that's a hard question. I think that I think sometimes that the CS departments are focused a little bit more on problems rather than tools, maybe. And so when they solve problems, they're easier to write about in the New York Times or wherever. But I think also, I think there is a little bit of a marketing. I think that's a part of it. You know, statisticians tend to be kind of a reserved group of people. And mm-hmm. so at the end of the day, we're not going to go out and, you know,
trumpet our list
of the awesome things that statisticians have done, which is, you know, a pretty long list. And so I think part of the reason for the blog was that maybe we wanted to advertise a few of our success stories as well, you know, like be a place where people who do statistics as applied to solving real problems could come together and sort of talk about those sorts of things. So mm-hmm. that was maybe one of the reasons we got the blog started. I mean, why did you?
Well, that's I think one of the goals that I wanted to do was build a community of people who analyze data, who solve, you know, interesting problems by applying all kinds of statistical methods, including developing new methods, but also, you know, just applying existing methods in an interesting way. And I think, you know, in many departments, you know, you have a mix of people who do different things, but there's no kind of, so every department has a mix, but I think it would be nice to create a place, even if it's online, where the people who are kind of applying the methods to solve problems could all come together. If it's not, you know, if you can't have it in a single department, right? So, mm-hmm.
you know, the interesting thing that it started off like that, and I thought, you know, we were going to have this target audience that was going to be mostly academic departments,
right.
A few statisticians in each department, maybe yeah. like reading our blog, and then it turned out that most of the people that, you know, follow us on Twitter or make comments on our blog or whatever are graduate students or people in CS or in government. Or,
yeah. I mean, when I sample...
It's not always academic statisticians that are actually into the stuff that we're talking about, which is kind of an interesting... I didn't expect that when we first started.
Well, it seems that there's a large number of what we would call kind of card-carrying statisticians, right? And people who are in CS or biology or computational biology or something like that, you know, who are doing statistics but are not, you know, the card-carrying type. I think that's not the one thing that I had really anticipated, you know, like you said. I mean, there are lots of people doing statistics out there
right.
who seem to be following.
So. And we also have, I think, a pretty big, considerable following from computer, computational biology, bioinformatics world, whatever you want to call it. A lot of those aren't card-carrying statisticians, but they do, a lot of what they do is data analysis, and some of them even develop methods. But... That wouldn't you say, Jeff, that that's like a big chunk of people who follow us or people who, you know, are interested in some of the topics that are related to that, because we talk about that often, you know, specific to genomics.
I think so. I mean, genomics is definitely a topic we talk about, and it's a topic that, you know, our posts that when we talk about genomics tend to be pretty popular. But I think that's also a function of, it's one of the areas where within statistics, there's already kind of a big group of people that are doing this kind of, you know, more applied sort of data analysis driven approach to sort of problem solving rather than sort of more methods based. And I think that's now, I think it's just like blowing up across different areas of statistics, but it feels like within our community, genomics is the most mature sort of data science, I guess I would say. I don't know.
Well, it kind of depends.
I think in a biostatistics department that might be true, but I think you have like recommendation systems. That also is another one that.
Oh no, I think there are other areas where people have been doing, you know, this sort of stuff, but within sort of our sort of area of statistics, maybe this is one area that's sort of been naturally part of statistics and biostatistics departments for a while. Whereas maybe some, you know, like recommender systems weren't done in statistics departments maybe until pretty recently, mm-hmm. if at all, you know. So,
I mean, one of the things I hear when I keep my ear to the ground from stat departments and wherever is that this is all just kind of a fad. You know, the big data is just the latest. It's the latest thing that you put on your CV so you can get a job, right? That you're doing big data or whatever, right? I mean, is this gonna? I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what the last fad was, but but I mean, I think.
It depends what you mean by a fad.
Yeah.
Can a fad last 50 years?
Yeah, right. I mean,
I would like to learn more about the history of our field. I read a book called Statistics on the Table, I think.
Stigler's book, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had some very interesting things about the beginnings and how way in the 19th century, looking at averages to describe sort of groups of people was kind of revolutionary. So, mm-hmm. So we've come a long way since then. And one of the things that he points out is that in the first half of the 20th century, statistics was very, very applied.
Yeah.
And in the theoretical statisticians, the people who became theoretical statisticians noticed that some of these the results that people were claiming, if you did the math and were a little bit more careful, you would realize they were artifacts, they were false. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of became like an important field, because now you have like a theoretical grounding for some of these claims. And then would you say that theoretical statistics is a fad that started then and has lasted up to now? I mean, right. I don't think that's a fair use of the word. I think maybe we're swinging back to an era where instead of theory, empiricism dominates, mm-hmm. and it could last a few years, right? Because there's so many new things are arising.
Yeah.
And
I kind of see it like, I mean, I don't know, like kind of like the genome, right? I mean, 2000 or 10 years before that, you know, the genome was like, that was going to be it, right? And yeah, the promise didn't quite meet expectations, but people are still, you know, doing genomics.
Yeah, and a lot of things, this happens in science all the time, right?
Yeah.
A lot of things we didn't expect were going to be useful from sequencing the human genome have arisen. And now we use the genome for everything, for
right.
building microarrays, for building, you know, new technologies and thinking about how to design drugs.
Yeah.
But I guess the fad, big data, the term, you know, capital big data, that's going to be, for sure, that's going away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you can already see
people are already
sort
annoyed
of like,
by that.
They're already annoyed by that term because right now that's the term you do put on your CV if you want to be, you know, doing whatever the new hotness is, you're doing big data.
Yeah,
right?
We should separate the semantics from the actual
work.
So the actual work of, now that there's, I think that one of the reasons why sort of big data originally became sort of an exciting topic was because, you know, up until not too long ago, it was hard to come by data sets. Even if you look at sort of for teaching examples and statistics, if you wanted to find a data set to sort of teach a concept to your class, there was two or three websites with like 15 data sets on them. And that was, you know, the sum total of mm-hmm. of sort of example data sets you had to teach statistics.
What was that called? There was a website we used to go to get data sets.
Statlib,
yeah.
Well, that was great. Yeah,
it's still there. It's
still
really good.
Yeah.
You go to any government website, they've got every data set about, you know, parking tickets and abandoned buildings and everything, or you go to any of these other websites. And so the data is just sort of everywhere. And so I think that the fact that data is everywhere means that there are a lot of problems we can solve with it. Until we run out of problems to solve with data, I think big data, you know, lowercase big data is going to be around in the sense that as long as we have problems to solve with data and there's data out there, people will be solving those problems.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the sort of the hype is definitely going to go away if it's not already kind of fading a little bit, because everything gets labeled big data, you know?
So right.
There's different categories of things that you can call big data.
But I guess for our field, one question might be, you know, is the phenomenon of big data, you know, for better lack of a better word, is that going to lead to new methods? Or
that's remains to be seen. I think it will. Yeah. And we're already seeing things here and there that are new what's interesting, what I find interesting about the new methodology that's in a way related to what we're calling big data, is coming from people who understand computer science and statistics.
Yeah.
Both fields, they understand them very well. I don't understand computer science well enough, but I know we've had a few colleagues that do, and it's interesting how it's very new, and that's how science evolves. You
right.
have really new things, and now we have like two different subjects that are coming together.
Right.
To produce
That's why it's called research, right?
But I sort of wonder, though, if when you say are new methods going to come out, it depends on what you define as methods.
Okay.
So I wonder if it's not what I what
That's
it
the
hasn't
Bill
been.
Clinton
what
answer.
Hasn't been? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What hasn't been clear to me yet is whether those methods will come out of the sort of the standard mathematical statistical framework that we've sort of built a lot of our methods, you know, in the past out of, or whether it's going
I guess
to be,
so you can ask who will
or is it
going to
be computational
methods,
you know? So I've certainly seen already really interesting what I would call statistical methods, which are sort of CS problems in the sense that, so I want to calculate the mean on a data set that's, you know, petabytes.
Right.
How do I do that? That's a non-trivial computational problem, but it's also a statistical problem.
Right.
The solution to that isn't going to be pen and paper, you know, working out a theorem, but it is going to be solving a computational problem. So I wonder if methods are going
to
be increasingly geared towards, you know, solving computational problems.
Well, it seems to me that, I mean, this may be an artificial distinction, but a lot of the big data problems might be better characterized as kind of engineering problems. Like you have a huge data
right.
set, what's the best way to store it? Or what's the best way to search it? Or what's the best way to kind of, apply
right.
some method?
But there's things that I think will be statistical, and also it will require also knowledge of algorithms like computing correlation matrices.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you have a 100,000 by 100,000 correlation matrix, and that'll happen, I think, over and over again. So general methods will be useful there.
Right.
But again, I think they will involve both figuring out what, you know, figuring out things like uncertainty,
yeah,
which would be complicated, right, but at the same time, even figuring out, can I even do this? How can I actually get the result? And that will be, you will have to have knowledge of algorithms, etc. And that combination, I think, is what's going to lead to the new methods of whatever you guys want to call it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, through the blog, we'll try to keep an eye out for that, right, through the next 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing this for 10 more years?
Oh, man, I didn't even know. I started the thing. I didn't know we had signed up for 10 years.
Well, you'll be like 30 by then, right?
I know. That's right. I'll be about, and you'll be retired, so.
That's right. Hopefully. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just wrap it up there.
Okay.
All right, so thanks for joining us for our very first video podcast. So please let us know if you liked it, because, you know, we're not going to make more of these if it turns out that you all hated it. So and so leave a comment at simplystatistics.org. Thanks for watching.
This is the view. Do-do-do-do-do.